In July, I have the opportunity to speak for the Wings and Eagles Conference back in Wisconsin. And guys, if you ever get a chance, you want to be a blessing, you want to get blessed, go to that conference. It's all centered around the EAA, where there are thousands of airplanes that come in and out, and they have missionaries that come in. And we have just a great time hoeing the corn there. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Terry. I'm going to share some things with you that actually are from the Word of God, but from my life. And it would open up my heart. You know, I've often said that a message prepared in the mind reaches minds. A message prepared in the heart reaches hearts. But a message prepared in the life reaches lives. That's what Matthew says. Jesus said, let your life, your light, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, I was given a cartoon by my wife. I want you to look at it. It pretty well describes a lot of us. All right, it says on the top, whoops, I accidentally wore my glasses in the shower. And then she says to her husband, well, hand them to me. And the bottom left, he says, here you go, here's my glasses. And then he says, I forgot to take off my shoes too. So that characterizes a lot of us, amen? I'm going to have you turn into some scriptures in just a few minutes, but you know, one of the first things that I learned when I really decided that I wanted to be a warrior for Christ was how to study my Bible. You know, I get asked that a lot of places, and a lot of times somebody says, you know, what do I do? Do I start reading? Do I study? How do I study? So I'm going to give you something real brief and then get into the message. But I look at three steps when you study the Word of God. The first one is observation. That's where you ask the question, what does it say? And that's all you do. You read the passage. And you ask the question, what is this passage saying? I remember in seminary, we had, and I'm going to give you something we learned after two semesters. But in seminary, this is something that was vital that we learn as men that will be preaching, how to study the Bible. So step one is observation. What does it say? My teacher was a man by the name of Howard Hendricks. And he gave us an assignment. He says, okay, guys, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to give you an assignment to observe Acts 1:8. Now, he gave the illustration. Now, I'll give it to you. He talked about a medical doctor that was teaching would-be doctors. And it was a medical school. And he says, fellas, I want to teach you the principle of observation. He said, I hold in my hand here a vial of bacteria. Now, it's not going to kill you if you get it on you. You don't want to get it in your tongue or in your eyes. And that's what I have here. So he put it on his desk. He said, now, if you get it in your mouth, you're going to want to die. You won't die, but you're going to feel that way for about 3 days. You're down for 3 days at least. So he taught the class on observation. At the end of class, he said, okay, I'm going to take this vial. He took it in his hand, he put his finger in it, and he licked it. And all the guys said, oh, no. And he said, now I want you to do what I did. So they passed it around. Oh. And he said to the fellas, he said, now I just want to give you an announcement. Class is canceled for the next 3 days. He said, but there's one thing you forgot to do. You forgot to observe. I put this finger in and I licked the pinky. He said, have a good 3-day vacation. But then Howard Hendricks, Dr. Hendricks said, I want to give you an assignment. I want you to take Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, etc., etc. I want you to come back tomorrow having made 50 observations of the text. I don't want you to explain it. I don't want you to give me an application. I want you just to give me observation. Well, he said, well, let me give you a hint. You could tell me how many periods are there, how many commas are there, what the verse starts with, how many words are in the verse. I just want observations. That's all I want. So we thought, well, that's something, 50 observations. So I went home, and I struggled. I said, there's not 50 things I can observe. And my wife said, you know, you can do this. And so I finally came up with 50 observations. I thought, man, I really know this verse now. Well, we came to class. I came to class the next day, and all the men, I think there was a couple hundred men in class. We were all excited because we thought we really knew the scripture. And we started sharing the observations, and I'm thinking, man, I didn't get that one. Oh, wow, I didn't see that. Well, at the end of class, he said, I want to give you another assignment and to come back tomorrow with 50 more observations on Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We all went, oh, well, I spent about 3 or 4 hours that night. I finally came up with 50 more observations. He gave the illustration of this doctor again, that a student came up to him and said, you know, sir, I'd like you to tutor me and I'll pay you for this. He said, all right, meet me after school. And so after classes, they went into the lab and he had cut a fish in half and split it open, pins. He says, I want you to come up with 50 observations on this fish. I don't want you to tell me what they do. I just want you to observe. So that would-be doctor researched it, came up with 50. Next day, same thing. He said, well, that's good. Now come up with 50 more. And as he was making the next 50 observations, he realized, well, let's see. For every organ, there's another equal opposite organ. For every this, there's that. For every this, and he got excited as now he began to understand the fish. But he said that that's exactly what you do as a doctor. You make observations. And that's what we do with the Word of God. We make observations. Now, step number two is interpretation. Now you tell what it means. What does this verse mean? And there are 6 methods. You can come up with the interpretation of that verse. And I would suggest getting yourself a journal. This booklet that you have there would be a good booklet to start with as you start writing verses down and making observation, interpretation. And I'll give you the 6 methods in a minute. Then number 3, now you apply it. And you say, well, how do I apply it? That's the question you ask. Or you say, well, so what? You don't want to be like the old country southern preacher that comes to the pulpit and he says, well, folks, I'm going to let my Bibles turn wherever it may. He says, I'm going to turn now to, let's see, Psalm. And I'm going to turn the pages. And here it says, I'm to worship God in the P-S-A-L-T-R-Y, the Peasel Tree. I'm going to preach a message to you today on the Peasel Tree. I want to talk to you about the shade that you can receive under the Peasel Tree. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you about the fruit on the Peasel Tree. And now the fruit falls nearby and you can eat the fruit of the Peasel Tree. And I want to tell you. And he preached the whole message on the Peasel Tree. And I'm afraid that many of us are that way when we preach and when we understand the scripture. We just opens the Bible. And bless God, I'm just going to read scripture today and let the Holy Spirit translate it in my mind. And I'm going to tell you, you come up with a lot of faulty applications. Now, quickly, and then I'll get into the message. The methods of interpretation. Here they are. First of all, you look at it culturally. And I appreciate the fact that Marty Heron, Dr. Heron, did just this, the cultural historical, what was going on during the Roman Empire, how they had abortions back then, how they did this. You know, he had done his research on the historical interpretation of that passage, when it was written, what was going on in the culture of the time. And then you look at the context, what's the verses before and the verses after. Then you look at it grammatically. What's the grammatical interpretation? Does the verse start with the word but? Well, the word but means the opposite of the verses before. Does it start with the word therefore? Well, you want to see what it's there for. Wherefore, also, and. These are big words. God has inspired the very words of Scripture. And then you look at it literally. Now you look at it literally. Unless the context says this is to be taken symbolically. And now the practical. The practical is the end. I want to talk to you about a project. I've shared this project with some of you at the prayer advance we had in Wyoming and Nebraska churches. So you guys, you can't answer that of when I asked the question. I shared it back east at the Wings as Eagles conference. But I want to ask you here to tell me what this project is. Let me give you an illustration. I've shared this project, biblical project, with men, young people, women through the years. I'm thinking of a man by the name of Don. Don was on our youth staff in California. And I shared this project with Don. And so he was a realtor and struggling to find homes to sell. And I said, well, Don, why don't you try this project? God says, whatever you do, you'll prosper and you'll have good success if you do this project. Now, success means reaching your full potential. Doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. I'm not preaching health and wealth here. You're going to reach your full potential. And so he took this project on, and within weeks, his schedule was full. And then he had to hire different people to help him. And he became a broker and started the company, and very successful company selling real estate. Today, he's independently wealthy, retired, and enjoying retired life. Lives in Greenville, South Carolina. Then there's Ted. Ted's here, commercial architect. Ted, when we started talking about this project, Ted and I both decided to do the project together. And Ted was, we were praying that God would give him more clients. Well, as he continued in this project, it became obvious he had more clients than he could handle. And he's now beginning to talk about hiring someone to help him as a commercial architect. I remember on the wrestling team in college, I went through college on a wrestling scholarship. I had to eat what they told me to eat, to lose the weight they told me to lose, and to wrestle for them. And I remember there was a guy on the wrestling team. We had, in order to wrestle on the varsity, we had to beat about six guys and go up the rung to get to the place where we were starters on the wrestling team in college. And there was a young man by the name of Steve. And Steve would get to practice maybe an hour early, and he would sit on a bench right before his locker and work on this project every day. Well, it came to the day, actually we were wrestling UCLA. And the guy above him was sick, next guy above him was injured, the next guy above him, on and on and on. And Steve, guess what? You are starting. You're going to wrestle against UCLA. Well, all of us begin to count up points. Okay, we're going to lose 5 points for him. He's probably going to get tech-falled in the first minute. And so we all figured out the score, but you know, he was working on this project. I think this was his first year of wrestling. You never do that in collegiate wrestling. Well, he got out there and he beat his guy. And he earned that varsity spot the rest of the season and had a winning record. I think he went undefeated, but I don't remember that. I remember when I decided to start this project, I had to study hard to get a C+, B minus average in college. And the one who shared this project with me said, you know what, why don't you take this project? Let's see what God does with your grades. And I want to tell you, as long as I was doing this project, God gave me straight A's. He put together the connections in my brain that caused me to be able to retain much more during study time than before. You say, what is this project? Well, let me tell you the results of the project. First result, and I'll give you the scripture in a minute, God says you'll have good success. In fact, there's only one verse in the Bible with the word success. And one verse that says good success. And that's the verse that talks about this project. Right? You'll have good success. You'll reach your full potential in Christ. Number two, whatever you do will prosper. All right? Number three, you'll excel in wisdom and understanding. Number four, you'll have new power over sin. Number five, you'll discover how to live. And number six, your success will be obvious to all. Now, how many think you know what the project is? Don't say it. Raise your hand if you know what the project is. All right? Oh, eight or nine. How many say, I think I know, but I don't know? Let me see your hands. All right, how many didn't raise your hand? Let me see your hand. All right. How many think it's scripture memory? Let me see your hands. Okay, you're wrong. How many think it's reading through the Bible in a year? Let me see your hands. Nope. Let me just talk about it. It says you'll have good success. You know, whenever God speaks of success in scripture, he relates it to this project. And it's the activity of meditating day and night on the Word of God. Meditation. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Here it is. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There it is. Only time in Scripture that's mentioned, and it's tagged on to the principle of meditation. Whatever you do will prosper. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. It says in verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. There it is. Day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. Here it is. And whatsoever he doeth will prosper, shall prosper. There it is. Third of all, you'll excel in wisdom and understanding. I like Psalm 119, verse 97 through 100. It says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. Thou through thy commandments, here it is, that's made me wiser than mine enemies. They're ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Next of all, you'll have new power over sin. New power over sin. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Say it with me. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Next one, you'll discover how to live as you apply this principle of meditation. Proverbs 4, verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Interesting, well, God says we're to let our heart retain our words. You look up that word retain in the Hebrew, it carries the idea of memorizing the very words of Scripture. What did Jesus say? John 15, 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. I've been so impressed with the way the different speakers here have used the words of Scripture. Amen? Somewhere along the way, they had to memorize those. The words of Scripture. Then you'll discover how to live, or your success will be obvious to all. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15 says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You know, there's so many other passages that talk about the Word of God being internalized in our lives and producing faith, producing success. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Psalm 63, 5 and 6, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember upon my bed and meditate on the night watches. Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So many benefits of knowing the Word of God, guys. Knowing the Word of God. Now let's talk about how it works, the process of meditation. First of all, you memorize it. You take. Well, let me say, even before you memorize, you got to read it. Read the Scriptures. I could get on a tangent here. You know, I'm all for reading through the Bible in a year. I'm all for that. I can't find any Scripture that tells me to do that. Now, I'm not criticizing people who read it. I have to read it. You have to read it. We get to read it. But I can't find a Scripture that commands me to read through the Bible. I am told to read the Scripture publicly as a pastor. 1 Timothy talks about that. I'm also told to read the Scriptures of when it talks to the book of Revelation. I can find Scripture that tells me, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I can find Scriptures that tell me to meditate day and night on the word of God. That word meditate actually comes from a word from which you use it for cattle. Some of you guys raise cattle. You got a cow, wrap his tongue around the grass, rip it up, swallow it, goes down to one stomach. They go off into a shade tree. They burp it back up, and they chew it with their back teeth. Then they swallow it again, and sometime later they burp it up again and chew on it. That's the same word, ruminate, that God wants us to do with the Word of God. We take the Word of God, we memorize it, we hide it in our hearts, and we bring it up at different times, and we use it in our lives. So the first thing we do is memorize the Word of God. And may I say, you memorize it word for word. You memorize whole thoughts at a time, topics or chapters or books in the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So it affects the mind. You memorize it, that restructures your mind. I've often said that your mind is kind of like that card that you took out of your radios or other electronic devices, and it's got all these soldering points, and you look at it, and this one's broken, so you reconnect those soldering points, and now it finally works. I kind of picture our brains that way. You know, when you take the Word of God and you memorize it word for word, it begins to connect those points. You begin to realize how you're able to retain more, you're able to think more of the thoughts of God. Proverbs 22:18, it's a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall be withal fitted in thy lips. So you memorize the Word of God. That affects your mind. Second of all, you visualize the Word of God. That affects your will. Your will. That's where you interpret the Scripture. You climb inside the verse. You look at every aspect of the verse. You look at it from every angle. You do your word studies. You can use these six methods of interpretation. Job 34, verse 32 is a verse that I've been chewing on this last couple weeks. That which I see not, teach thou me. Now, when I did the word study there, that which I see not, the Hebrew word for that is the things I don't comprehend. The things I don't comprehend. Teach thou me, it's the word there in Hebrew is shoot. It's like, shoot straight with me, God. It's like, put your finger in my chest, boom, boom, boom. What I don't know, just give it to me. Shoot straight with me. Then he says, if I've done iniquity, I will do it no more. Iniquity means lawless deeds or disobeying the very commands of God's word. And God, if I've done that, I won't do it anymore. Just show me. That's where you visualize the word of God. You let it pass through your will. It affects your desires. And number three, you personalize it. That affects your emotions. You put the scripture in the first person and you quote them back to God. Oh, it's like John 3:16, for God so loved Craig Scott that he gave his only begotten son, that if Craig Scott believeth in me, Craig Scott will have everlasting life. You put yourself, your own self into that verse. John 15:6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Abiding in Christ is what we're talking about here, where you're personalizing the Word of God, and that is affecting your emotions. Now, the last step, now that you memorized it, you visualize it, you personalize the Word of God, now you worship God with it. You pray it and sing it back to God. That affects your spirit. Isn't that what John 4:24 says, with Jesus talking to the woman at the well? It says, we worship God as a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. Somebody said, and I think this is true mostly, that King David, when the Psalms he wrote, had taken much of the Old Testament scripture and memorized it, visualized it, personalized it, and now he's praying and singing back to God, and that's where we get the words. Of course, you know, that's from the Holy Spirit. But he took what he had learned and put it to worship. John 4:24, powerful. We worship God in spirit and in truth. The way I do this, I find myself doing this actually in my sleep now, singing scripture back to God. Now, I generally have to do that privately. I'm afraid if I did it publicly, it would be a stumbling block to the cause of Christ. But for instance, one of the verses, we're singing through these scripture songs on Sunday nights at our church. I find myself last night singing through Colossians 3:1-3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Ye are dead, ye are dead. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's a catchy phrase. But, you know, I have a list of verses every morning that I go through, and I little by little I add to them. I did several verses, but I find myself, when I come to some of these passages, I find myself singing them back to the Lord, worshiping God with these verses. I'd rather do that than watch a Bronco game. Uh, I'd rather have my eyes poked out than to watch a Bronco game. Well, you know, Coach Sean Payton, our new coach, he had issues with his heart. And I heard this. And they said, you need to get as far away from football as you can. So he came to the Broncos. Anyway, I'm just saying. So how does this work? How does this project work? I set aside 1 hour. 1 hour. Now, to go through all the verses, I do maybe three times a week. It takes an hour and a half. But I have 1 hour. I set that. And in the passages that I've learned, there's several key verses talking about the authority of the word that I start out with. I'll then go to verses on prayer. I'll then go to verses on the thought life, okay, and the inner man. That's one of the great desires that I have in my life, is to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. I'll go to verses on the scriptures, like Ted and I have memorized John 15, John 16. We just finished Romans 6, and now we're into Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And going through that passage and learning to sing it and pray it back to God. But I tell you, let me just tell you how to work. Two things. If you set aside an hour a day, you're going to find that about a half an hour into it, you're done. You're saying, well, wait a minute, I just can't do this. Well, do a half hour then. And the next month, go for 35 minutes. And then work into 45 minutes. And work into an hour. Now, I do it first thing in the morning. I'll get up at 5, 5:15, 5:30. And that's the first hour I do, and the first hour and a half, and then my prayer time. And that works for me. Now, it may work for you to do it at a different time during the day. I know in college it worked for me to do it at a key time in the afternoon. But I would say set aside an hour a day and don't worry about setting goals on verses. Well, I'm going to memorize a verse a day, five verses a day. I would say, now I'm just talking about my method. You do whatever you can, just know the Word of God. But I'd rather take a verse and add it to the list and get sidetracked doing word studies, looking it up, looking at the context, looking at it grammatically, culturally, literally, historically, practically, going through that whole method, my hour is done. But I'm committed to the process. Now, I think yesterday I was looking, it's 185 or 186 verses. But I started doing that one verse. One verse. That's the way it works. And some of you do well. You get a verse a day. Ward, tremendous. He's got his tremendous way of doing it. Seven times a day, you said. You look at it, and it learns like a chapter every day or whatever week. But I tell you, I can't do that. For me, I can memorize a verse, the next day I can't even give you the first word. And I work on it for 3 weeks. 3 weeks every day. Finally, I can give you the first word and finish the verse. Right? But I'm committed to that process of an hour a day, meditating day and night in the Word of God. So where do you start? What do you do? Well, I'd say you determine areas of need in your life. Find large sections of Scripture or large groups of verses. I came to a man early in the ministry when I was getting ready to move to Colorado. He was on my youth staff in California, and I said, Gary, do you see anything in my life that's a blind spot? He said, yes. And I said, well, tell me. He says, you're critical. You're critical of people and things and your tongue. Boy, it just smote me. So for the next year, I memorized a whole list of verses on the tongue and my spirit. And I quote them every day and pray about them, that God would make them true in my life. Now, I'm not perfect. I'm not a great Christian. I don't claim to be. But I will tell you, one area of my life that I'm sensitive about is criticism, being critical of people. And God's word is what did that.
Amen.
All right? So where do you start? Well, if you're a new Christian, you've just come to know the Lord, memorize several verses on salvation, eternal security, the fact that you'll never lose your salvation. Memorize verses on four issues, four areas. The importance of the word, the importance of prayer, importance of church, and the importance of witnessing. All right? Those four areas. Just find a list of verses. Work through them every day. You come back next year, you're going to have a slew of verses under your belt. And so when you get somebody like a Harold Vaughn or Stephen Vaughn or Marty Heron or somebody that preaches and they go from this to that to this to this, you're saying, well, yeah, I know that passage. Hey, let me quote. Well, they quoted it wrong. Let me give it to you this way. Then you're critical, and that's where, you know, you need to be convicted. Or you can look, here's another suggestion. This is something that changed my life. The last message of Jesus to his disciples, John 15, 16. I believe he was standing in the vineyard teaching those on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. All right, John 15 and 16. Or this is the passage I started with years ago, the flesh. You have any issues with your flesh, your thought life, your words, your motives? How many have issues with the flesh? Let me see your hands. My hand is up. All right, Romans 6. Brother Stephen preached on Romans 6. Get the message, get the tape or the recording. But to memorize Romans chapter 6. How about trusting God, faith? Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter. How about having an issue with loving people? 1 Corinthians 13, John 10. And there's so many other passages. I would just encourage you guys, listen to me. I'm done. I would encourage you to take this project. Memorize, visualize, personalize it. And pray it and sing it back to God. Learn to do the observation of Scripture, the interpretation of Scripture, and the application of Scripture. But make sure you're not like the Peasel Tree guy. Make sure that when you teach or preach or share with others or believe right, that it's consistent with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
I want to take some time. We've got 9 minutes. And I'll end early. I just want to be a good testimony to the other speakers, all right? Any questions about this? Any comments or questions? Raise your hand. Yes, sir.
What is the best way to learn about the culture, historical?
Excellent. Excellent. Culturally. Okay. I have an answer. Jason Miller, Pastor Miller, he's one of my mentors. He teaches me how to use that program of Logos. Where would you go if you want to look at the cultural background, Jason? Speak loud.
I'd be interested in ancient Near Eastern studies, and you got to be a little careful.
with this because the Bible was not written in a vacuum, was it?
Written in a vacuum?
It was not written in a vacuum, right?
No.
Is the Bible for us?
Yes.
But was the Bible written to us?
Yes.
Yes and no. I mean, it's written to a different culture and time, right?
Yes,
so we want to get into this culture. And there's been, in the 1920s, they discovered a library at Ugarit.
It had a bunch of
Canaanite literature. So
you're reading these different things. Here's a good case in point. The Jews today practice kosher law, right?
And kosher, you can't have cheese on a hamburger. Why can't you have cheese on a hamburger? Because you're not supposed to
see the kid in the mother's milk.
Well, interpretation for years in Judaism, long before
even Christians, was
it's a cruelty to the mother and the kid and all this and that. Well, then they discovered the library at Ugarit, and, there was a Canaanite practice. Part of their worship system was to seed the kid in the mother's milk. And God tells them to worship like that.
That's good.
Do you see how, we got to be careful, because
culturally,
some cultural things, let's be honest, there's
things that can be said in this room today that everybody
here would understand and be on board with, but if in the world, they might misunderstand what you're saying.
Yeah.
We got subcultures, we got different groups. So, as you study the culture, there's going to be different scholars who take different positions. You've got to weigh this with the Word of God.
Amen.
And you've got to be a man of the book, in the book, to be balanced by the book before you let the culture, this is all okay now. You got to be very careful with culture.
Excellent. There's some. Excellent. There's some good books. One's by Gower. Gower, you can Google that. And there's a book on customs and manners of the Bible. And you can actually Google customs and manners of the Bible, and you'll find five or six tremendous books that you can get on an understanding of the cultural background of Scripture. Or get the Bible program, Logos, which is what Jason has. I have it. Others have it. But any other questions? Yes, and right. Excellent. Yes, sir, in the back. Speak. We need the microphone on you. But okay, good. That is a great question. Well, how do you memorize if you have a hard time memorizing? Well, I like the HW method of memorizing. You might want to write this down, the HW method. Put it in there, okay? And let me tell you what HW stands for, is hard work. you'll find, it's like the founder of the Bible camp in Michigan, Camp Joy. He used to talk about the counselors that would have an assignment, and 2 weeks before the camp started, they'd have counselor training, and he'd have the counselors sit out on the deck of their cabins, and they had an hour to read the scripture, to memorize the scripture. And after about 10 minutes, they were throwing sticks at squirrels, carving little different things. And after the first week, they were lasting a half hour. And the second week, they were asking for more time. And I would say for you, just like me, okay, you're going to have, just take a verse. And you're under no domination. There's nobody pointing a finger at you saying, you got to have it done this week. Over and over again. With me, I'll take a verse and I'll read it. Maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 times. And then I'll start quoting the first five words. I'll do that maybe 10 times. And then I'll add the next words. Okay? And then the next day, I'll quote it. I don't even recognize it. But then I'll do that the same thing again the next day. After about a month, you're able to go through that and quote the verse. It's just going to take time, and you got to be committed to the time. You're not trying to get any stars on any chart in the church. stars on your crown in heaven. You know, none of that. It's just hard work, is knowing the Word of God. Now, quite frankly, there are people that criticize you for knowing the Word of God. Well, bless God, you should just be praying more. Okay, we need to pray more. Well, I'll tell you what you did. Instead of memorizing Scripture, why don't you get out and win souls? And the other people say, you know, you just know the Word of God, because there's so many commandments in the Bible to know the Scriptures, to meditate day and night. Amen? And there's a lot of Scriptures that tell us to pray and to witness. Yes, Steve.
Pastor mentioned it earlier. We've been singing scripture songs in our evening services, and we're getting a bigger and bigger and bigger group. But if you struggle with memory, Google scripture songs on your smartphone. Good. You will get more than you know what to do with, and you just start listening to them and listening to them and listening to them. I couldn't have quoted Colossians 3, 1 through 3 before we started coming to Woodside. There are others too. The other thing that is really helpful is if you have a Bible app of any kind on your phone, if you're in your car and you want to memorize a chapter, set it to play that one chapter over and over and over. Many of us drive to work every day, and Denver traffic is so much fun to drive in every day, and I get plenty of opportunity to sit on Interstate 270 every single day. And I work on two things. I listen to my Bible, and I work on Spanish lessons so I can try and communicate better. You know, those are the things that I use that time for instead of wasting it.
You can go to Psalm 25, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up. You can go to Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3, I will bless the Lord at all. You go to Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. That's Psalm 27, 14.
It's Al Smith.
Al Smith did that. Well, this is one more question, and my time is up. Yes, sir, in the back.
To tie in with the question about scripture memory, our ministry, Life Institute, Mark Magruder's here with me. We have partnered with a ministry based in Dallas, Texas called Verse Locker, or Scripture Memory Fellowship is the name of it. But they have an app totally free called Verse Locker. It is amazing. Verse Locker, L-O-C-K-E-R, Verse, as in Bible verse, Verse Locker, totally free. Set up an account with them. They will not spam you. They're a partner ministry of Life Institute. They are phenomenal. They understand that people learn different ways and different styles, and they have built that into the app. Amen. And you can pick your own verse, or they have a whole group. Like Life Institute has a whole section of verses just on stewardship, if you want. So I would highly recommend Verse Locker. It's totally free. Log in and download that and start using it.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful to talk about something dear to your heart is your word and your very words. Teach us to know you through your word. Teach us to study to show ourselves approved unto you. Teach us to meditate day and night on your word. Dear God, teach us to be men of the word. We give you the glory. Your head's bowed. Let me ask you this. How many of you say, Brother Scott, I've been encouraged to know the word? May I see your hand? All right, you can put your hand down. Let's go a step further. How many of you say, you know, I'm in. I want to be on the team. Count me in. I'm going to shoot for an hour a day. Let me see your hand. Amen. Would you tell that to the Lord? How many of you say, well, you know, I'm not sure you can do an hour, but I'm going to try. I'm going to start. May I see your hand? Amen. Tell that to the Lord. Father, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.